Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and be my disciples. So, right from the start, if you were paying attention, you may have noticed that I just left a couple of words out in that selection from John 15, at least compared to what's in your bulletin or what you heard read from the English Standard Version, and there's a reason for that. The words I left out aren't actually there in the Greek. And it's not that the translators were off, they're just trying to capture the gist of Jesus' words here, but they added words that I think muddy the waters a bit. And here's the issue, right? If we say you bear much fruit and so prove to be Christ's disciples, that makes it sound like you can't prove you're a disciple unless you bear much fruit. And what's that going to do? That's going to send you scrambling off after making sure that you're producing that fruit, and it's going to have you worried about how much fruit is actually enough fruit to be abundant. And of course, the last thing that Jesus wants any of us to do is get stuck on ourselves, worried about whether or not we've done enough to qualify as disciples and get into the kingdom. So if we go with what's actually just there, what we have from Jesus is a simple observation. The Father is glorified by two things. One, when you bear fruit, and two, when you are Jesus' disciple. Now, will you bear fruit if you are a disciple? The answer, of course you will. But bearing fruit and being a disciple are two distinct things. However, they do share this in common. Both involve being a branch of Jesus. So let's work on that a bit. What does it mean to be a branch of Jesus, the true vine? Well, I've noted this before. This is actually one of those easier images of Jesus to get, especially now that it's spring, right? Things are warming up, and what do you see with all the trees outside, right? They're beginning to put out their leaves. Some of them put out flowers. We know that those that put out flowers, if they got pollinated, are eventually going to start producing fruit. That's botany 101, right? And of course, the reason that those branches are able to put forth leaves and flowers and so on is they are getting life from the trunk. The trunk is what's pulling up the moisture and the nutrients out of the ground and sending them into the branch. Well, so far so good, right? Now, Jesus is the true vine, and you and I, we are branches, his branches. He's the true vine. True, here in the sense of being the vine that really gives you life, as opposed to all those other things that we try to get life from. And he can give us true and eternal life because he is died and raised. Remember, in John chapter 15, we are still with Jesus in the upper room on the night he was betrayed. He is speaking these words to the disciples with his arrest only a few hours away. Crucifixion and his death are still waiting. And with his resurrection a few days away, Jesus there with these words is preparing the disciples for all that's going to be made real by his death and resurrection. I am the true vine, he says. I'm the one who's going to be giving you life by everything that I'm about to go do. And the life that we receive from Christ is, first of all, death to sin, right? And he died on the cross so that you and I might die with him. So that that sinful nature that we have from Adam and Eve would be broken and left powerless, so that we can resist it and repent and turn. And the life that we receive from Christ is resurrection. We die with him, and as he is raised, so too are we given a new life. His life, to be precise. We're given a share of all that he is, so that by his Spirit we begin, God willing, to live Christ, to think in Christ, to see in Christ, to love in Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. And so we know what he gives us as the true vine. So then comes the question of, well, okay, how do we get attached to him as branches? How does his death and life get into us? Well, the attachment part, again, is pretty easy. We are made branches that are attached to Jesus by being baptized into him. What did Jesus tell the church? Go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What gives glory to the Father? That there be disciples, that you and I be disciples. And what do disciples do? They bear fruit as branches of Jesus. But you'll notice it all begins with holy baptism. In the waters of holy baptism, by the power of God's word, his command, his promise, you and I, we are washed, and Jesus' death and resurrection are made ours, so that we are branches in him. That's what happened to all of you when you were baptized. You were grafted into him, if you will. Now, most of you know at this point, I am no gardener. I have failed miserably with trying to raise things out in the garden. But I can read. And so when I read, I find out about stuff. And what books tell me about grafting is that there needs to be an affinity between the branch and the tree that are being grafted for that graft to be able to take. So, for instance, pears are close enough to apples where you can graft a pear branch onto an apple tree and get success from that. On the other hand, you take an orange branch and try and graft it onto an oak tree, not anything good's going to happen there. So I mention this because our grafting into Jesus doesn't begin with our being made like him. No, the reason that you and I can be grafted into Christ is because he made himself like us. He took on our flesh and blood. He became capable of death. He took the guilt of our sin. And then, having overcome all that in our flesh, he now gives life to us as his branches, as we are grafted into him through holy baptism. And so just as the trunk then gives life to the branch, the way that Jesus gives life to you with his Spirit, with the Spirit that's given you in the gospel and the Holy Communion, is by letting that Spirit flow through you just the way that the sap flows from the tree into the branch. And that's why we make such a big deal about gathering for worship and maintaining some sort of regular contact with the gospel. And whether it be devotions, our study outside of worship service, our prayers. And think of those things like that sap again that's bringing you the branch of Jesus' life. As you hear the gospel, as you hear the good news of Jesus, that in him you are forgiven and made new and loved. As you hear that, the Holy Spirit is breathing. He's breathing life into you as a branch. And for those of you who commune, right, the image becomes even stronger as you eat Jesus' body, as you drink his blood faithfully. His life is entering you and giving you life as a branch. And we need to stay connected to him by receiving that life. We stay connected to him in word and sacrament, with worship and prayer, lest we become fruitless and get cut off and wither and die. Now, as disciples of Jesus, what are you made to do? Well, you bear fruit. You bear his fruit. You bear Christ. Just as he brings forth life from death, just as he brings forth righteousness out of sin, Jesus brings forth fruit from you. And this happens through his Spirit. Hence reminding you about the gospel and communion and how vital they are. They are what allow you to have the Spirit, because the Spirit is promised with the word, with the sacraments, to bring you grace, to bring you the knowledge that you are loved and forgiven and redeemed by Christ. And by that same Holy Spirit at work in you, working in your mind, working in your heart, you bear the fruits of Christ in his Spirit. And it turns out, right, you know what those fruits are. You all had to memorize Galatians 6 at one time or another, right? The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Now, that can come off as a bit of a laundry list, and each of those fruits could be a sermon in its own right, but for now, it's enough to know that this is what your life will bear and show to the world when you are a branch of Jesus. The love that you receive from him will pass through you and be shared with others, as we heard from 1 John. And this love is not, first of all, about warm, fuzzy emotions. It's about affectionate care aimed at the well-being of others. You seek to do good by all whom your life touches. You love because he loves you. And you're going to have joy in Christ. You know that everything will be well. And you have peace. Because of the joy, you're not going to get all worked up about every little trouble that comes along, whether in your life or in the world around you. For Christ lives, and you're his branch, and death and hell are done for. You know how the story ends. Which means that you can then be patient with others. After all, consider how patient Jesus is with you. And as God is kind to you, giving you what you need regardless of how you behave, you can pass that along too as a branch, not worried about what others deserve. Do what is good and faithful. Be gentle. You don't have to mete out justice everywhere you go. You can leave that to God. And you'll be self-controlled. That is, you in Christ as his branch, you're going to resist the temptations that would cut you off from him. Christ is the true vine with true and everlasting life. For he died, and behold, he lives to give life to you, his branch. And that gives glory to his Father, showing God's power and love and grace. That as a branch, as disciples, as bearers of the Holy Spirit, you abound with the fruit of Christ. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen. I invite you to stand as we